So I have 8 questions for Joe Biden. Just 8. I mean, I would follow up, so it would be a rollicking good time. But the first question is, do you support teaching critical race theory in public schools? Now, just today, the Biden administration announced they were going to hire some crazy left bomb-throwing racial person. And then they had to walk it back, say, oh, no, it was a miscommunication. But I want to know what Joe Biden thinks about critical race theory being taught to 7-year-olds, right? I'm a simple man. It's a simple question. Then I would follow up with, would you please define, Mr. President, critical race theory for all of us? What exactly do you think it is? So those are the first 2. Then I would get into systemic racism in America, because Mr. Biden has said that many, many times. We're a racist country. It's systemic racism. So give me the best example of systemic racism. But the best one, the big one that's in your mind. All right, that's the 3rd question. 4th question, we go to the economy. So Mr. Biden said this week that the high inflation number in June, 5.4%, which is astronomically high, was expected. But my staff did the research, and the White House Budget Office, all right, early part of this year under Biden, said we expect little more than 2% inflation. So if that's what the Budget Office said, why are you saying 5.4% was expected? Now, that might be a little confusing to President Biden, so I would speak slowly, but I would give him the stat. Okay? The 5th question. Gasoline and food price hikes are hurting working and poor Americans. All right? The country didn't have this rise in prices under Donald Trump. And then I would say, right, correct, and Biden would have to say yes or no. But the fact is, there wasn't price rises in energy and food under President Trump. That's the fact. Okay? So then, hopefully he'd tell the truth and say, no, those prices didn't go up under my predecessor. They say, well, why are they going up now? Specifically, gas and food. Now, I'm sure he'd throw COVID in there. That's what I anticipate. But he'd have to give me a cogent answer, or I'm going to come in and say, well, what does that mean? You know, you shut down pipelines. He might go to the colonial pipeline hacking, might go there. But you know me, I'm on it. All right. And I have a baseline of facts in all my interviews. So the 6th question would be, it looks like 1.5 million migrants will be apprehended by border authorities in the federal government's fiscal year. 1.5 million. Now, that's double last year and way more than the last 10 years. So why is that happening under your watch? And before you answer, Mr. President, please consider that the president of Guatemala said, this is your fault, directly said that. Why would he do that? See, that's the question on immigration. The 7th question is, that a new poll says 61% of Americans want election reform in the states. And some of the states are holding votes on reforming the election, cutting down on fraud. You oppose most reform, Mr. President. Why? If 61% of the people want it, why don't you? And then I would follow up and say, do you believe asking for a voter ID at the polling place is racist? Yes or no? And why? Simple man, simple question. All right, the 8th question is, finally, according to recent surveys, 2 million Americans say they are not looking for jobs because they're getting money free sent to them by your administration. Does that disturb you that 2 million Americans are not looking to earn a living but want to live on the dole? Now, he's never going to answer that, but it has to be asked. So those are my 8 questions, okay? And I think they're all fair. Again, if you don't think they're fair, bill@billoreilly.com. If you have other questions, I'll read them. But that's what I would like to hear tonight. But I will never in a million years hear those questions posed on CNN. If I do, I'll tell you tomorrow. Because I'll watch it. And if one of my questions, or even close, is posed, then I'll tell you. I'll be fair. But I'm not expecting it. So President Biden's been in office 6 months. My grade after 6 months is D, as in Tara Dog, Holly the Tara Dog, D. That might be unfair to Mr. Biden, but I thought about it a lot. And outside of distributing the vaccine in an orderly way, which has happened under his administration, outside of that, I don't see any benefit for the United States of America directly linked to Joe Biden. Again, if I'm being too harsh, you let me know. So let's bring in a presidential guy, a guy who written a number of books about presidents, Paul Brandis, coming to us from Washington. He is White House bureau chief and founder of West Wing Reports. So you make a living watching the president and how the executive branch runs. What grade would you give President Biden?
Well, I think it's maybe a little bit better than your D, Bill, but probably not that much better. And I think you gave a lot of the good reasons. I mean, there's no question that he came into office, first of all, saying that COVID was the big thing that he wanted to do, and everything else, frankly, derived from that. Okay, that's a fair point, I think. So where are we after 6 months? Well, first of all, he came in and said, well, I want to have 100 million people vaccinated within X period. Well, that was kind of a low bar to begin with. It was deliberately set low so it would be easily achieved, give them an early success. The real marker was when he said, we want 70% of Americans, well, 70% of adults at least, to be vaccinated by July 4th. They came somewhat close to that, I think about 65-66%. Not bad, but that still leaves tens of millions of people, of course, who have not been vaccinated. Then you've got this Delta variant rearing its ugly head. So in light of the fact that they have not met the goals that he established, a lot of these other things simply are not getting done.
See, I don't blame them for the vax. There are 30% of Americans, it's a lot of folks, American adults, just not going to get the vax. No matter what you say, they're not going to do it. All right. And so you can't force them to do it. And to Biden's credit, he hasn't introduced any mandates and he doesn't do that. And that's a good thing. But outside of COVID, you look at the economy, it's wobbling. You look at prices, they're going up. You look at the border, it's a catastrophe. Just Cuba, I talked about this with Sean Hannity today on his radio program. He's down in Miami. Just Cuba alone, all Biden had to do was go down to Miami and make a speech saying, we want freedom for the Cuban people, and we're going to put as much pressure on Havana, on the communist government as we can to make that a reality. That's all he had to do. Wouldn't do it. His solution to Cuba, and this was why he gets a D, is to send more American personnel to the embassy in Havana. Come on, does anybody on earth think that's going to do anything? It isn't. It's dumb.
Well, they've messed up on the border, I think, no question about it. I think the media, which was all over this, like white on rice, of course, during the Trump era, I think they've largely looked the other way here. I mean, first of all, he outsourced it to Vice President Harris. She has not done, in my judgment at least, a particularly good job. She went down to Latin America, didn't really do that much. She claimed she'd been to the border. She hadn't. And so I'm not really sure what they're doing. And these people are coming in. I think the number you said, 1.5 million. I've seen different numbers, but it's certainly well over a million.
It's a number from the Border Patrol, from the Biden administration's own people. That's the number. 1.5. And what's interesting about that number, Paul, is that's just the apprehensions. That's not the other million migrants who got in. All right. Because the Border Patrol can't get them all. This is a human wave. But the horrible stuff about this, and again, I'll remind people I wrote a column, Mi Casa, Su Casa, is that tens of thousands of migrants are being murdered and beaten up and raped and everything by these horrible people, these coyotes, these cartels in Mexico. This humanitarian disaster is totally ignored by the American press. You were right. You were absolutely right. Kids in cages. That's what we heard about Trump. But all of these terrible, terrible crimes against humanity, against these poor migrant people, you don't have a word about it because also, the media is invested in Joe Biden. Go ahead.
There's also a big difference in terms of Cuba and Latin America. You know, in terms of his policy towards Cuba, he could have said, you know, get out of Cuba. Our arms are, we have an open door for you. We welcome you. Come to Miami. We'd love to have you, but he has not done that. But in Latin America, the view is that it's a more permissive attitude. I think that's why the numbers have increased on his watch, because he's seen, I think, is not as tough on the border as Trump was. So you got these waves of folks coming up here. But in Cuba, it's like, no, 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 don't come here. I don't know what the difference is.
Well, I'll tell you what the difference is, that the and I talked about it again with Hannity. The difference is that some progressive leftists think Cubans will vote Republican, that they're more conservative than the Central Americans, which is true. Cuba is a more traditional, religious, family-based society. This isn't a besmirchment against Central America and Mexico, but the society in Cuba is much more traditional. But here's the bottom line on this, and I hate to use that cliche bottom line. Asylum? I mean, every Cuban who gets to the United States is going to get asylum because they are fleeing a totalitarian, violent communist regime. All right. They're not saying, hey, my brother-in-law is in a gang and he's mean to me. Let me in, as a lot of the Central Americans are doing. This is true political horror going on in Cuba. So therefore, by definition, the Cubans are entitled to asylum if they can get here. And Biden made it quite clear that he doesn't want them coming. He doesn't want them trying to get here. So anyway, it's an interesting discussion. Here's a final question for you. I see Joe Biden as Jimmy Carter. There are so many similarities between Biden and Carter, both weak leaders, both beholden to Biden much more so than Carter was, but Biden is beholden to the progressive left. All right? He does what they want him to do. He doesn't have any kind of backbone on crime, on abortion, even though he's a Catholic. I mean, he's just weak. And that's what Jimmy Carter was. He's a weak president. Do you see that?
Well, I think there are certainly similarities. And I think I see Biden, frankly, as sort of a transitional president. I mean, look, he's 78 years old. I mean, I can't see someone that old getting reelected to this very difficult job. Carter was elected in 76, as you know, because we'd be coming out of this period of horrible scandal, Nixon and Watergate. Carter presents himself as Mr. Clean, I'll never lie to you. That very appealing in 1976, but he flopped on the job. Along comes Biden now, after what at least most Americans see as this scandalous Trump era, double impeachments and all the rest. And Biden came in and said, you know, look, I may be a gaffe machine, but I'm an honest guy. And so it's kind of a lower bar in terms of what we want.
Well, let me ask you this. Biden's big theme was...
And he did not win by very much, as you know, 45,000 votes, and he would have lost.
But Biden's major theme was, I'm going to unite the country. I'm going to bring us all together, because President Trump was divisive. But he has done the opposite of that, has he not? He hasn't united anybody I know.
I think there's certainly something to that. I mean, look, not two-thirds, 55% of the country approve of him, 45% don't. You know, with Trump, the numbers were reversed under Trump.
Yeah, I know. But I haven't seen any kind of outreach to try to get everybody together on some kind of kumbaya plane. Paul, thanks for helping us out. We really appreciate it. Know how busy you are. Thank you very much. Toyota, probably the most powerful corporation in Japan, they pulled out of Olympic advertising because the Japanese people are so crazy angry that these games are being held in the first place. They didn't want it. The only two people that wanted were NBC, making billions, and the Japanese government, who spent billions, and they didn't want to get, they want to get some return for their investment. But Toyota says, we're not going to advertise. And he's not even going, the CEO of Toyota, to the opening ceremony. Akio Toyoda, not with a T, with a Y, T-O-Y-O-D-A. C-O, that's his name. Toyoda, but not Toyota. It's great. Anyway, the COVID thing in Japan, very intense because they don't have the vax. Here, the week, July 5th to the 11th, all right, U.S. cases of COVID are up 44% from the previous week because the people who did not get the vax, will not get the vax, are getting COVID. And they're spreading it to other people who are unvaxxed and children. That's why. So the five states with the least vaccinated residents are Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Wyoming. That's four. I'm sorry, I misled you. I thought I had five. And they have low vaccination rates, and that's where the COVID cases are. So just remember, I mean, I told you from the jump that you should get the vaccine. Unless you have a doctor who's saying no, it would be bad for you, a personal physician overrides anybody, you should get it because it protects you and it protects the people you care about. Because remember, it's dormant for a few days and you can spread it and nobody knows. But 30, 35% of Americans say, we're not getting it. We don't care. We're not getting it. And there's enough media that plays into that where those people are firm. Okay. So I expect COVID for the rest of the summer to rise, not crazy rise, but among the unvaccinated. So in LA, of course, they overreact because the progressives who run the city and county basically say we're using COVID for political purposes. Now in LA, you have a mask mandate. You want to go inside any building, you got to wear a mask because of this new rise. But the sheriff of LA County, Alex Villanueva, says, we're not going to enforce it because it goes against science and federal guidelines. So Villanueva says blank you to the city and county of LA authorities and you know, don't call us to enforce the mask mandate because we're not. Interesting, right? So the whole COVID thing is being used by the progressives, and they, there's some brilliant thinkers there, to impose their philosophy of life. They're using COVID to silence opposition. Okay? I think we all know that because of Donald Trump. So if you say questionable things on the internet, on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you can be shut down. Out of there. Nobody will ever hear you again. And that's what Senator Amy Klobuchar wants. If you dissent on COVID, roll the tape.
There's absolutely no reason they shouldn't be able to monitor this better and take this crap off of their platforms that are basically telling people, oh, hey, there's problems when we know science proves there isn't. And so I feel very strongly about this because of the fact that you are literally seeing, as the Surgeon General said, over that people who are vaccinated, they are the ones that aren't dying.
Okay. So I don't agree with her. Now, that may seem contradictory because I want you to get the vaccine. But I don't believe that COVID should be used to silence anyone. Okay. So if you don't want to get the vaccine, you should be able to post why. Now, if you say, I don't want to get it because I'm going to turn into a werewolf, well, you're a fool. And people will know you're a fool. If you cite a statistic that says 70% of those vaxxed are getting COVID, then I would censor you if I were in Silicon Valley running those companies. So if you put a stat up that's false, that goes. But I wouldn't banish you. I'd just take the post off. So in a country with many points of view, the anti-vax people should be heard. Okay, I don't agree with them, And I think my argument is very powerful, but I don't want to ban them. Amy Klobuchar does. Because once you start down that ban road, you could put it to global warming. If you don't believe in global warming, boom, you're a non-person. You can't be hurt. That's what they want. Because you can't impose socialism and progressive policies without totalitarianism. It has never been done in the history of this planet. There hasn't been one socialist government that has come about because of a free vote. Never happens. It's always silence the opposition. Always. Did you know every day is a perfect day for peace of mind? With American Home Shield Warranty, you are covered for unexpected breakdowns like leaky faucets or faulty water heaters. Choose a plan that fits your budget and rest easy knowing repairs and replacements are taken care of. Simply contact American Home Shield when an issue arises, and their trusted pros will handle it according to your coverage. Don't let worries about appliances and home systems weigh you down. Celebrate the reassurance of protection. Don't worry, be warranty. For 20% off plans, visit ahs.com/bill. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product is being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. Okay. Now, one of the partners in silencing the opposition, in canceling people, in terrorizing people who are non-progressives, in taking jobs away from people, one of the most powerful groups that have aligned themselves with doing all of that destructive stuff, all right, all of the PC stuff, are the corporations. Not all of them, but a bunch of them. Let's bring in Rogan O'Handley. He's an attorney and a conservative activist. He joins us from St. Petersburg, Florida. Mr. O'Handley has a lot of experience in show business and with big corporations. So my question, because I'm a simple man counselor, as you know, is why would Disney, which I think is the worst, why would they buy into this progressive vision when it could very well hurt their business?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they want special favors from the people making the laws in DC, right? So they're going to play along to get along. And I also think, especially with Disney and other Hollywood companies, there is a strong interest in appeasing their Chinese counterparts, right? So for two reasons. One, the first is that China has actually invested heavily in Hollywood. When I was there from 2011 to 2017, you know, I was working on deals where Chinese-owned companies were, you know, bought Legendary Pictures, for example. That was a multi-billion dollar deal. They also co-finance films. But almost most importantly, for companies that aren't necessarily owned by China, you know, China has a massive movie market. They have an explosive middle class. They have movie theaters all over the country now, and they have a strict censorship protocol for foreign movies coming in to reap those rewards. And I think it's gone from anywhere from 16 to 32 films a year are allowed in from outside the country. These companies want that access. So not only does the movie have to be, you know, friendly to China, but they also have to have a PR campaign that aligns with what China wants, right?
Okay, because if but they you could do that- both. You could do both. I could be the head of a movie company in LA or a television company like Disney, and Disney obviously is in movies too. And I could say and pander to the Chinese, like the National Basketball Association is doing. They pander to the Chinese because they want their products to be sold in China. You could do that and not be woke and not be trying to cancel people with an opposing point of view. Couldn't you do both? You could be a moderate and a fair person here in the United States and say, no, we're not buying into this cancel stuff, and still kiss the butts of the bureaucrats in Beijing. Couldn't you do both?
You could. I tend to think that there is actually a bigger plan for China to, you know, establish their power all over the world and to also establish dominance over the United States. How are they going to do it? They aren't necessarily going to beat us militarily. They aren't going to come knocking on the door. They're going to work from within surreptitiously. We're seeing professors being busted all over the country for receiving secret China payments. We're seeing China, after Trump renegotiated the trade deal, they got very confrontational, and then we had a lot of issues with COVID. You've seen them blockading investigations into Wuhan. So I tend to think that a larger term Chinese plan, which they've openly admitted, is to not only establish a foothold over the world as the dominant superpower, but especially over the United States. And how do you do that?
Sure, they
you
want to
incite this division within the country.
Okay, but I think the Chinese issue is a separate issue, all right? The issue of Disney saying to its announcers in Orlando and in Anaheim, you are not allowed to say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anymore. That has nothing to do with China. That's basically bringing an oppression, number one, to traditional ways of speaking about people, and number two, to freedom of speech. So why would Bob Iger, a billionaire, and his board of directors, all of whom are fabulously wealthy, want to impose this insanity on people who go to their theme parks?
I think there's a lot of corporate peer pressure, to be honest, as well. You know, we had decades of this critical race theory permeating our public institutions, educational institutions, and our colleges, and now they're kind of reaping the rewards of that social investment, okay? And now you have a lot of major corporations such as Nike, Dick's Sporting Goods, ESPN, the Oscars, the Emmys, all these organizations that are seeing a lot of pushback from middle America, but they are still plowing forward with what they believe is the future, the established ideology of social equity, which is just a fancy way of saying, you know, communist type principles. We see what happens when companies push back against this dominant national narrative. They get iced out. Look at, you know, Parler, for example, right? They decided to not go along with the Apple, Google restrictions, and then they got shut down by Amazon servers. These companies, and especially a lot of the billionaires running, you know, things at the top, there's not too many of them when it comes down to it. You know, all media corporations are owned by like six companies.
But they almost have a groupthink about them. It's almost a groupthink where they all think the same. They're all on board with the progressive left. Same thing in Hollywood. Same thing in New York City in the network divisions that run a television industry. They all think the same. Is it because they want to get invited to parties? I mean, this doesn't seem to be any diversity of thought at all. Last word.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with that. If they want to keep rising in the ranks of their companies, if they want their companies to be able to do further business deals with these other companies. I think there is this kind of consolidated effort where they say, if we all stick together and we all do this, they can't boycott us all. Okay. All but right. I do believe that this creates a multi-billion dollar opportunity for parallel institutions that are friendly and tolerant to conservatives to thrive in this new environment.
I think so too. But first, it's going to be Congress getting involved in the censorship issue. That's got to happen. Counselor, thanks very much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the USA? With more than 10,000 plant varieties and millions of satisfied customers. I have their trees and plants at my home, and they're fantastic. Have you had your fair share of landscaping woes and wasted weekends at crowded nurseries? Finding fast-growing trees will be like stumbling upon a hidden treasure, believe me. With fast-growing trees, it's different. From fruit trees to houseplants, they have it all delivered right to your doorstep. Plus, their plant experts are always available for advice. And here's the best part. This spring, they have up to half off on select plants. And my audience can get a extra 15% off by using promo code Bill at checkout. So please go to fastgrowingtrees.com, use promo code Bill at checkout.
Who is there for the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who is helping our nation's homeless veterans? And who is helping our nation keep its vow to never forget 9/11? I'll tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's In the Line of Duty programs honor our nation's heroes and their families. That includes its Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings and barbecues, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is helping to educate kids in kindergarten through 12th grade about our nation's darkest day, 9/11. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. This charity keeps its word and honors our nation's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
Okay, let's go to Cuba. Now, there is a group that wants to bring pressure on the Cuban government from the USA by organizing a flotilla of vessels to sail into the Straits of Florida. Remember, if you look at the map, it's 90 miles from Havana to Key West. And in between some of the most lucrative fishing grounds in the world, the Straits of Florida. So this group in Miami wants a whole bunch of vessels to go out there and bring attention to the Cuban people's plight, all right? So the organizer, Jorge Lopez, says, quote, the purpose is to stay on the border, not trespass, stay in international waters, and just let the Cuban people know we're fighting for their freedom so once and for all they can be a free country. So that's what Jorge says. Now, I support Jorge, but I will warn anyone that those are dangerous waters there because of the currents. I have dived those waters, and I have sailed those waters. You don't play around the Straits of Florida, you wind up in the Bahamas. You fall overboard, something happens, you get a bad vessel, and there's plenty of sharks. Plenty. This is not a joyride. But the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has issued a warning to anybody who would take a boat into the Florida Straits to protest and said that if you don't get permission from the U.S. Coast Guard to do that, we are going to arrest you. And you could face 10 years in prison and a fine of $25,000 a day. So I don't think they're going to arrest anybody, but the threat is being made from the Biden administration. They don't want this flotilla out there. Why? I think it's good if Americans demonstrate on behalf of the Cuban people. But I want it to be done safely and in an organized fashion. Would I alert the U.S. Coast Guard? I sure would. A big Coast Guard base in Key West. You got to call them up. You got to tell them, hey, we're going to do this. We're not going into Cuban waters. You go into Cuban waters, they can detain you. And the Coast Guard can't do anything about it. But you were going to stay outside the Cuban boundary, stay in international waters, okay? And we're going to tell the Cuban people we're with them. What's wrong with that? So why isn't the Biden administration saying, hey, we admire the protest here. It's the right protest, but don't be foolish. Don't be stupid. Don't put yourself or the country in jeopardy. That's what they should say rather than just issuing this threat. All right, Chicago. So another crazy weekend where, you know, insane amount of people. 56 shot last weekend in Chicago, 11 dead. It's every weekend. So the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois doesn't want to stop this. Because if they did, they put the National Guard, Pritzker would order the National Guard, into these neighborhoods. There's only four or five of them. And the guard would patrol, and the drug gangs couldn't come out with their guns. Because the National Guard can detain you. Can't arrest you, but can detain you. and then the police come and arrest you. So that would stop it. So if the guard were patrolling last weekend, 56 people would not have been shot and 11 people would still be alive. But Pritzker won't do it because Pritzker is perhaps the worst governor in the country, governor of Illinois right now. Anyway, so the city of Chicago and Chicago PD Superintendent David Brown, who again have no idea or don't, and they don't want to stop it, says we're going to create a team of 50 officers that will target gun traffickers and disreputable licensed firearm dealers. So what good is that going to do, Commissioner Brown? Obviously, the drug gangs already have the guns. They're the ones that are shooting everyone. You know that. I know that. Now, I don't mind you targeting disreputable gun dealers who don't do what they're supposed to do. I don't mind. Why would you take 50 elite Chicago PD and assign them to that rather than assign them to catching the killers? Why? You see, criminals commit crimes. Guns don't. Criminals use guns. But the guns themselves don't commit crimes. Now, you can slow the flow of guns down, I guess, into Cook County, but the drug gangs have plenty of guns already. It's just, none of this makes any sense because they don't really want to solve the problem. Because if you really solve the problem, then you have to occupy African-American neighborhoods with mostly white people. That's why they don't want to do it. And so they goes on and on. Philadelphia. So people in Philly, you're going to get what you deserve. You reelected this DA, Krasner, who won't enforce the law. He won't enforce it. So now Philly's catching up to Chicago. Last weekend, three dead, 33 shot in Philly, a much smaller city than Chicago, because Krasner doesn't enforce the law. The criminals say, we'll worry about it. We're not going to the penitentiary because Larry isn't going to charge us. It's so simple what is happening. The solutions are difficult because the problem is so acute, life and death. But again, I will go back to the fact that the people of Chicago, New York City, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, Baltimore, on. They are not protesting. Until that happens, don't expect anything good in the criminal justice area. Here's a new poll just out by Gallup, and it says, you have confidence in the following institutions, throw them on up. And I'll give you 2019 and then this year. So public school system, confidence, 29%. Now it's gone up 3 points to 32. Medical system, you see the number 36, now up to 44. That's COVID. That's the vax. That's why that jumped. Small business, 68, 70. That's got a lot of confidence of people. Church or organized religion, boy, only 36, 37% have confidence in the churches. That has really hurt our culture. And it's the church's fault, largely, not just the Catholic Church, but all of them. They're not responsive to the people's needs. Banks, nobody likes banks. U.S. Supreme Court, few like them. Criminal justice system, 20% have confidence in the criminal justice system. There is a lot of corruption there, no doubt about it. Military, still high numbers. Tech companies, only 29%. 29%. And that's a censorship deal right there. Newspapers are shot, 21%. That's it. Have confidence in them. How about this number? Television news, 16%. Who are you people of confidence in television news? I want to know. Who are you? All right. Presidency, 38. That number stayed the same. Trump to Biden. Isn't that interesting? It's a low number, but stayed the same. Big business has fallen. Congress is nowhere, and the police, fallen a little off the George Floyd stuff. There is the trust poll from Gallup. Okay, now, why don't people trust the media? Let me tell you an interesting story. So there was a hit piece by Politico. Politico is a left-wing website. We knew this was going to happen once we announced the Trump-O'Reilly history tour. We knew someone was going to come try to hurt the tour. Right? It wasn't a hard analysis. So Politico was the one. And I have a tendency to ignore this stuff, but President Trump asked me to talk to the Politico reporter, which I did out of respect for the president. So the guy gets on the line. He sounds like a middle schooler, had his article already written, that the Trump-O'Reilly history tour is not selling tickets very well. That was his article, and he had it written. And then he had a lot of smear stuff against me in the piece. So I told him basically blank himself, and I said to him, you know, you write any defamatory thing, we'll see you in court, because that's what I'm doing now. You defame me, you hurt anybody around me, we'll see you in court. And I've won five in a row. So anyway, the Politico article goes out. Nah, not a lot of pickup. It was just a BS article. I mean, it was just crap. And I gave the guy the stats. He never found a way into the article. So in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for the show in December, all the VPs are gone. All the VP tickets are sold out. And those tickets are really expensive. All right. In Houston, all the VPs sold out. In Dallas, all the VPs sold out. And in Orlando, 25 VPs left. That's it. So those are the most expensive tickets and the ones that are in the greatest demand. There are seats to all shows because we didn't do any marketing yet. We haven't spent a nickel on marketing, not a nickel. Why? Because you don't market 6 months out. Shows are in December. You announce. And this is what I told President Trump. I said, on the announcement, just the announcement, we have $7 million in the bank and ticket sales. Nobody does that. And I told the guy that for Politico, and he, you know what he said to me? It's a quote, Bad Bunny sold out in 2 days. Bad Bunny. I said, how much were those tickets for Bad Bunny? It was like, again, talking to a ninth grader, some school newspaper. Anyway, the thing goes out, gets picked up, unfortunately, totally. Anybody reading it would know it's ridiculous. But The Hill picked it up. Now, The Hill offered me a job when I left Fox. Big money. I turned it down because I wasn't ready to sign on with anybody then. But The Hill has collapsed. And it is now no standards at all. They picked this up. They know what Politico is. They know. Everybody knows. So I just give you a little example of that. And we had a really good weekend for the Trump-O'Reilly history tour. Maybe that even helped us. Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, so I've been thinking about this for a couple of days. I mentioned yesterday. There's a war now, and it's ideological. So liberals want everybody vaxxed. Yes, vax, vax, vax. And some conservatives, not a majority, but some go, no, we're not doing it. Okay, so it's political now. It's become political. And the press, which is 90% liberal, they're pounding some conservative commentators who aren't all in on the vax. You know that. Everybody knows this. So I did a little research, and I found out that white Americans have a 67% vax rate. White, 67%. That's one or two shots. Black Americans, 51%. That's the lowest ethnic group, Black Americans. Hispanic Americans, 63%. Almost parity with white Americans. And Asian Americans, they win, 74%. Now, the press does not tell you that African Americans by far have the lowest vax rate. Why? Why? If the left-wing press, the progressive press, is hammering conservative commentators who are skeptical about the vax, why aren't they criticizing 49% of the African-American population, which has not got the vax? Remember, it's free. I don't know. Could it be the press is hypocritical? Could it be that their coverage is corrupt, that they slant everything against conservative traditional Americans, and they ignore anything that might, like, minority groups look a little dubious? Could that be it? I think it might be. So it's my job here to cut through all of this. And I've been very vocal from the beginning. I hope you get vaxxed. I hope you protect yourself and others. I really do. I'm vaxxed, so my family is vaxxed, and we got vaxxed early. I don't care what color you are. We're all Americans. I want to stamp this thing out. This is horrible, this COVID. All right? And the only way to stamp it out is through vaccinations. We'll see you tomorrow.